Good morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Day. This is my favorite topic. I've always said they can keep all the other holidays, just give me Easter. It's something that we need to celebrate. The text I picked this morning is out of John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I know that seems kind of long, but you get into some of these, for me, it's a hard time to find a place to break. So John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lined with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must be raised from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for those who have shed their blood to keep it here for us and keep it in print. Forgive us, Lord, when we neglect the reading of your word, when we neglect prayer and fellowship with you. I thank you and praise you today, Lord, that you sent your son to die for our sins. I especially praise you that death couldn't hold him. And Father, I thank you that he is seated at your right hand now interceding for us, and that you are here to strengthen and help us through this life. If there's any here today that's never called on your name, I pray today will be a day of enlightenment and awakening for them, that they might call upon you and be saved. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many critics of the gospel cite that there are differences in the four gospels about the resurrection account. Matthew tells that there were soldiers guarding the tomb. It had been sealed. And that an angel came down from heaven, said his clothes were dazzling white, his appearance looked like the sun, and he rolled the stone back and sat down on it. And it said the guards were so afraid they became like dead men. And after the angel left, They went into the city and told the officials what had happened, and they were given a large sum of money. And they were told to tell people his disciples came and took him while we were asleep. Now, sleeping on guard duty in those days, especially among the Romans, was punishable by death. But they guaranteed them, we'll secure you with the governor. And Matthew says in his day that story was still being told. Mark said there were three women went to the tomb. Luke doesn't name any of the women. John names Mary Magdalene. Some criticize this and say, well, they're all telling a different side or a different story. But you know, in a court of law, if you have witnesses testifying and they all testify the exact same thing, they'll throw that out as collaboration. It means they got together and worked on it. They got their stories together. It's not unusual if you talk to two or three witnesses. I've done it at car accidents when I was on the ambulance, and you'd get two or three different versions of what they had seen happen, but it was all the same thing. They just saw it from different sides, different angles. Some things would stand out more to them. And to me, it's not important if there were three, two, or one woman at the tomb. It's not important at all. Now, Mary Magdalene, according to Mark, was the first person that Jesus appeared to. And there's no small wonder, because it said she was at the tomb before daybreak. And when he appeared to her and spoke to her, she didn't recognize him. Luke tells about two disciples walking to Emmaus that the Lord appeared to, and they didn't recognize him. Now, Mary recognized the Lord when he called her by name. When he said Mary, she understood who it was. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize the Lord until he prayed and blessed the food. Then it said they recognized him. John said seven of them went fishing, and they hadn't caught anything all night. And the next morning the Lord was standing on the shore and said, have you caught anything? And they said, no. He said, throw your net on the right side and you'll catch. And it said they took a full number of fish in, so the net started to tear. And John, the disciple, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when they got to shore, Jesus had made breakfast for them, and they sat and ate with him, and it said none of them dared ask him who he was, because they knew it was him. I'm telling you that to say that there are many today who teach that Jesus was not physically raised from the dead. Jehovah's Witnesses are one of them. They'll cite those three occasions and say they didn't recognize him. That proves he wasn't raised physically, but it doesn't prove anything. When Mary went to the tomb, she wasn't expecting to see Jesus standing there. She went to anoint a body. And when she turned and saw him and he spoke to her, in her grief, this is my opinion, she didn't recognize him. But as soon as he said Mary, when he called her name, she knew who it was. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says, the King James says their eyes were holden, which means God did not allow them to recognize Jesus until he prayed and blessed the food. Then their eyes were opened. And it said immediately Jesus was snatched away. On the shores of the lake, it was still dark when Jesus yelled at the men. I can't explain why they didn't recognize him. But as they ate breakfast with him, it said they knew who he was. And some say, well, that proves that he wasn't raised physically. And yet those very people I've talked to believe they're Christians and their sins are forgiven. The Apostle Paul said, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, we're still in our sins. And our faith is vain. So next time somebody tries to tell you that, remind them of that. And maybe you can say, why are you even here? Why are you even trying to talk to me? If you don't believe that Jesus is raised, your sins aren't forgiven and mine aren't forgiven. So what's the point? All Rome had to do to stop the spread of Christianity, think about this, all they had to do was produce a body. They knew where he was buried. Pilate had allowed them to seal the tomb. He had placed Roman guards as well as Jewish guards at the tomb. The Pharisees were afraid that that tomb was going to be empty. And they said, that deceiver said he'd be raised. So they said, seal the tomb so nobody can get to it. But see, the tomb wasn't open from the outside. When the angel appeared and opened the tomb and sat on it, Jesus wasn't in the tomb. He's already gone. He opened the door to allow them to see in. The Lord was already out of the tomb. Don't let anyone tell you that Jesus was not raised from the dead. If they do, you can be sure that their sins have not been forgiven, because they refuse to believe that. I know it's hard to believe. It's hard for us to grasp because we're finite. We will all face death one day if the Lord tarries. We will all be laid to rest, but that is not the end. Jesus has promised that there is coming a day, he said, when all who are in the graves will hear my voice. I believe that. He conquered death. He conquered it for us. Death couldn't hold him, and death will not hold us. I believe that with all my heart. I've sat at the bed of saints that were on their way out, and I know they're afraid. We're all afraid of death, whether we admit it or not, because it's the unknown. Nobody's done it and come back and told us what it was like. But I've reminded them, Jesus Christ tasted death for you. And he's promised that death is not final. That one day he will raise that body. Paul said to depart from the body is to go be with the Lord. So in that way, church, we shouldn't fear death. When Paul was in prison in Philippi and he was wondering about what was going to happen to him, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, for that'd be better for me. But he said, if I stay here, it'd be better for you. So he said, I'm convinced I'm going to stay here. So Paul had a grasp of what death was about. I said last week, when Jesus was facing the cross, he wept, but it wasn't for himself, it was for his people. Because he knew the terrible judgments that was going to come against his nation for what they were going to do. But he also knows what the outcome is for those who do not accept him, for those who do not believe this. My favorite part of this passage, it stands out the most to me, and I've been reading the book 40 years, and I still see new things all the time, but this has always stood out to me. When the Lord appeared to Mary, and she finally realized who it was, I like it. The King James says, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. But the Greek, my understanding of the Greek is he said, don't cling to me. I think Mary wrapped her arms around him and said, I lost you once, dude. I ain't losing you again. And the Lord said, Mary, I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Don't hang on to me. I'd kind of like to went with him if it was me, but that's just me. But he said, this is the part that really stands out to me. Go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The Apostle Paul wrote, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. You know, this is a pretty troubled world. And it's easy to look at things that's going on and you can't understand it. You can't see how this could be happening. And this world is getting worse. I was talking to someone a while back. We were talking about culture and society in the world. And I said, you know, they brag that we're progressing. I see us digressing, mankind. We're getting just as barbaric as they were 2,000 years ago. But my hope isn't in this world. My hope isn't in a politician. Politics have never fixed anything. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of God. As Brother Greg mentioned, God the Word became flesh, and He came and lived among us. He bore our sins on the cross. He bore the curse of the law on the cross, and He died for every one of us. But death couldn't hold Him. I believe that He's alive and well, seated at the right hand of God, and He's praying for us, and He's promised that one day He's coming back. Yeah. That's what I hope in, church. I don't hope in who wins the elections. I don't hope in anything else but in Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's something I love about Him. He doesn't change. I believe Jesus Christ is alive. Some people think that's foolishness. I saw a documentary where some people went out on the street and interviewed people. And I would say the majority of them said the cross is foolish. The story of the Christianity is a hoax. There is no resurrection of the dead. And I'm really sorry people feel that way. I've had people ask me, can you prove that Jesus is alive? And my answer is no. Can you prove He's not? Were you there? I wasn't there. But I believe it. This is a great day for the church. It ought to be a day of celebration, rejoicing, a day of thanksgiving. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not have to perish, but would have everlasting life. He was nailed to a cross, buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, and He was raised again. That's something to celebrate. That's something to meditate on and think upon and keep in the forefront of your mind. Don't let your hope be in the politicians. I gave up on them a long time ago. My hope is in Jesus Christ. What He's done for me and what He's still doing for me and what He will do for me. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, they had a hard time at that time accepting His resurrection. When Peter and John went into the tomb, I've heard preachers say, well, they believed. They didn't believe He was raised. They believed He was gone. Because the very next statement is they didn't understand the Scriptures about Him being raised from the dead. Before the Lord went to the cross, He said, you're going to grieve and mourn and the world's going to rejoice. But He said, you'll see Me again. And the joy that you have, no one will ever take away from you. Do you have that joy this morning? Joy isn't giddiness. We think sometimes joy is being in a good mood all the time, being happy all the time, being giddy all the time, never being pessimistic. That's not what joy means. It's the assurance of the things that have been promised to us. Life is a struggle, full of struggles. But we don't walk alone, Christian. Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. If you've never called on the name of the Lord, I would invite you to do that. You don't have to come up here and make a show of anything. If you're more comfortable doing it at home, when you get home, get on your knees before the Lord and call out to Him. I hear a lot of people talking about, have you received Jesus? The question isn't that. Will He receive you? That's the question. But God has said, whoever will call on My name I will save.